Welcome aboard the Wedding Empires podcast with yours truly, Jack Bowie, where we plunge into the depths of creativity, entrepreneurship, and the love-infused world of weddings. Each episode, we're going to unpack strategies, insights, and stories that empower you to craft the wedding business of your dreams. Welcome to the Wedding Empires podcast.
Today, we're here to talk about email, which is very important for any sort of wedding professional, especially when we have the kind of business that we don't keep these customers forever, right? We've got to keep finding new customers. And when we catch them, we've got to nurture them. And so email is such an important part of our marketing strategy. It has to be. It's a non-negotiable, right?
Absolutely. I actually wish, so I used to be a wedding photographer. So rewind, previous to my email marketing life, I was actually a wedding photographer for a decade and I did not use email. So it was very much like the feast and famine, ups and downs, hustling to find clients and they get married and they were done, you know, like you just said. But now I'm like, if only I knew back then what I know now, it would be totally different.
Okay. So that means that we're going to get heaps out of this. I love it. I love it. I'm excited. All right. So let's talk about what you do first. Okay. You're obviously in the email marketing space, but what does Kylie Kelly do? What's your thing?
So I help female business owners grow their email list fast. So I mainly work with service providers or online business owners, that don't have an email list or that have one and haven't emailed them in a long time. And I help them grow them full of their ideal clients so that they can then sell to them. So that's my whole mission. I have memberships and offers and all the things for that reason alone. And I think it's all come from my own experience. So when I pivoted into an online business, into email marketing, I realized like it doesn't have to be this freebie on your website and you wait 5 years for people to come. Like it can actually be something that you do really fast. And then that allows you to then sell to these people and live life on your own terms. And as a mum to two little boys, I get to do school pickup and live the life the way that I want to live it. Right. And that's all come through this journey with email marketing. Wow. Yeah. In a nutshell.
Great. All right. Well, let's start with the heavy hitting questions. What is the secret sauce to crafting that perfect email subject line?
I love this. You sent through the most amazing questions. I was reading the list of questions and I was like, oh my goodness, there's some crackers in here. Some
really great ones. I'm ready.
Yeah, I prepared. I had to. So listen, I think the thing with subject lines is that we want to avoid sounding like a marketer, right? If you try to be too clever, it just sounds spammy. It just sounds like a marketer has written it. So my best performing subject lines are things that I would actually say to a friend that intrigue a bit of interest, like, you know, the story from last week, or my best performing subject line was like number 10 mistake for the day. I just made it. Oh, what's that mistake? Like it just straight away, it's like you're relating to somebody on the other end because everybody makes mistakes and they might've had a really crappy day too or whatever, but also you sound like a human being. You're invoking a little bit of curiosity. You sound like a human being. So I think that's the main thing. There are some rules, if you will, to avoid with subject lines. So not using the word free or guarantee or buy now. Those kind of real salesy subject lines can get triggered as spam. So avoiding words like that. But just what would you say to your girlfriend over a glass of wine or a coffee? How would you start a conversation, create a bit of interest? And the way to test these, there are tools online. If you just Google like subject line tester, there's tools where you can like get a little rating out of 100 as to how good it is. So you definitely use those. But when you're looking at your subject line, it's always connected to your open rate. So if your open rate is not great, work on your subject lines, right? If your open rate is really good, you're then obviously doing really well with the subject lines that you're writing.
I love that. Okay. Can you share some of the most creative email campaigns that you've seen in your career?
See, I love these questions. I was thinking about this one, and you know what? I think I'm a little bit different in terms of the way that I think about email, because I think of it more of it just like a relationship that I'm making friends online. It's literally how I made friends. Like I started this at the start of the pandemic when I was feeling lonely, and now it's how I've just made friends. So being that, I don't put too much thought into the creativity side of it, which as a creative person sounds a bit crazy, but it's more about the telling stories, the sharing my life, the behind the scenes, being real with people, and they then lead to the deep relationships and then lead to the next step. I think when we try to be too clever, I don't know, I feel like we just come across wrong. It feels a bit gross and spammy, and we don't want to build that into our email. So in terms of like creative email campaigns, I haven't seen that many. They're either like really salesy and spammy and gross, or they're really random. Like the best ones come taking me behind the scenes of someone's business or behind the scenes of their life, or telling me mistakes, things that have happened, lessons that they've learned. They're the ones that I love the most. So again, it doesn't really answer your question, because I'm like, oh, I can't really share a real creative one, but I think that they're the best email campaigns that I love getting and that I love writing as well.
Look, I would say I love a good email from Marie Forleo or Jenna Kutcher, where, you know, they're talking about something that happened that's real in their life. And I love a good GIF, you know, like some funny GIF that's in there, but telling me that, you know, they made a mistake and it was funny, you know, and they're relatable. I love an email like that. But then I also come from an e-commerce background, and I love a good e-commerce, you know, platform that's tailor-made. You know, some reminders in there based off my activity. So mine would be a mixture. It would be like, oh, that was really well done, you know, in terms of the technology behind the email. But yeah, I like you also like that sort of story and a personal connection, and the email to be fun. You know, I like to say a few emojis and a GIF and some real pictures and things like that. So.
I love what you just shared there as well about being personalized, because I think the best ones come right when the person running the campaigns has also like segmented their list, and they know what you've bought before, and they know what you like, and they are a little bit tailored to you, and they feel a bit more tailored, a bit more personal. So I think that's also a good little tip for our listeners, like to think about how do you want your reader to feel, and what do you know about them? Like, are they an existing wedding client? Are they already engaged? Are they, you know, where are they in that journey?
Yes.
And how can then you tailor that content to them? And like most email service providers can tag and segment all these fancy things. So it's just figuring out what information you want to know would be helpful, and then what you want to send them. But I think that's a really good point you made. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you can always craft your forms, whether it's a lead magnet form, a contact form, a new client questionnaire, whatever it is, you can always tailor that to get information, right? Like key points. Like I remember, I'm not a wedding planner anymore, but obviously I deal with wedding planning every day with the Wedding Academy because we teach wedding planning. But we, at my old business, Darling Don't Panic, when we had a couple that would contact us, I would always make a point of mentioning, you know, if they put the venue, for example, oh my God, I love that venue. I love this, you know, I know the owner, blah, blah, blah. Like I would look for something to just give that sort of reinforcement that I knew what I was doing, and I you know, not knew these other providers that they were working with and whatnot, but also just to sort of show interest and connect with them on something, not just sort of be this, you know, standardized or automated reply, come back with something that was personal to them. So you can do it in a little way, you know, with each of those steps where they don't feel like they're just being on some automated journey. Let's go back and talk about how storytelling can play a role in making an email engaging.
I love that. I do think people can go too crazy and just tell stories. I think that there needs to be a reason that you're sharing the story. So whether it is the connection, right, whether it is to actually relate to them about something, or whether it is leading them into the next thing. So perhaps, like for the wedding example of the venue that you just mentioned, maybe it is a story about the last time you worked at this venue, and then you're giving them a tip about the lighting in this particular part. Obviously, ex-photographer thinking about the lighting straight away, but like, you know, maybe it's like a, a point about the venue that you could share with the readers or the couples. And if you know what couples are getting married at that venue, you can obviously send it to that little audience or that segment. So I think it's just being really intentional with the stories, not just telling a story for story's sake, but thinking about, so what's next? Like, why am I telling this story, and where is this leading people? But story is a beautiful place. We connect over stories. We tell stories ourselves throughout our daily life all the time, whether it's to our kids after school or our girlfriends over a coffee or like whatever. Like, we're telling stories all the time. So I think it's important to still do that, but just be really intentional with the stories that we're telling.
Yeah, great. Okay. What would be your go-to strategy to increase open rates and click-throughs?
So open rates, like we said before, is all about the subject line. So definitely monitor that. I will say, and I'm not sure how deep in the email marketing world you guys are, but as of April 1, there's some changes coming with the authentication of your email domain. Sounds so technical and things, but really all that means is like Microsoft, Yahoo, and Google are getting a bit stricter with what they let through to the inbox. So you have to be authenticated. So if you use something like ConvertKit or Flowdesk or ActiveCampaign, MailerLite, whatever email service provider you use, just look up how to authenticate your email address so that it gets into the inbox first. So that's step number one, right? We want them to get into the inbox.
Okay.
Then step number two, yeah, looking at the open rates, always connect to the subject line. So if you have a poor open rate, play with the subject line. If it's really strong, you're golden. Keep doing what you're doing. The click rate, there's a few little like strategies you can play with. So always have links. Yeah, always have links in your email. So it's really funny. Like a lot of my members, I'll be like, oh, my click rate's really low. I'm like, oh, so what links are you putting in? Oh, I didn't have a link in that one. Oh, it's just my Instagram. I'm like, well, let's try add some more links first. So I think being again intentional that it's connected to the content of the email, but including links, but then playing with the way that you're having them. So have a button at the top, have the hyperlinked URL at the bottom, have, you know, click here, like play with the way that you're putting links into your emails as well, because then you can see what your audience, what your email list, clicks on the most. So for me, I get the best click rates if I put a button in like the first paragraph, like at the top bit of my email. If I introduce it with a line or two and then have a button that links out, they always click the button. So I know that's what I do. I might put one in the PS or something down lower as well, but that's what works for me. So have a play with the way that you're putting those links into your emails as well.
Yeah, great. Okay. And of course, mobile. We've got to keep mobile in mind when we're crafting these emails. So I feel like this is a silly question. How important is keeping mobile optimization top of mind when you're creating these emails?
Like, it is important. I think most of the software these days is crafted with that in mind. So you don't need to do extra steps for this. I think it's more thinking about breaking up big paragraphs or like just the readability, which goes for desktop too, right? But the readability of your emails. So you don't want massive big chunks of text. You want to use like smaller sentences, break them up, dot points, italicized, bolded. Like, you just want it to look like it's interesting, whether they're on mobile or desktop.
Yeah, great. Okay. And when it comes to how often we're emailing, what do you reckon is the magic number when it comes to like keeping people engaged but not overwhelmed?
So do you know what? Like, I just don't think there's real rules about this, Jack. I really don't think there's like a do it this many times and that's the answer kind of response. I think it depends on a few things. It depends on what you're comfortable with, what you're excited to do. There's no point saying do it twice a week if you're like, oh, I can't do it once a month. Like, pick what's comfy for you. I do think with our inboxes so full these days, once a week is a minimum. So I do think it needs to be once a week, but I probably send more like 3 or 4 emails a week now. Granted, I have a bigger list size. I'm getting closer between that 5 and 10K on my email list. So sending, you know, 2, 3, 4 emails a week is fine because only 50% are opening them. So it's not like they're getting overwhelmed. But what you'll notice, if you start sending too many, you'll notice that they're not being opened or engaged with as much. So you might want to just drop it back a little bit. I know people that send daily emails. I've got some that I'm on their email list and they send daily emails and I still love to read them. So I don't think there's a black and white answer. I think it's at least once a week, but then see what you're comfortable with, see what you have to say. You might only have one email a week in you to write. That's cool. Like, do that. And then just see what your list responds to as well and go from there.
If you're in the business of making dreams come true, listen up, because the Wedding Academy is your ticket to success. Running a wedding business isn't always a walk down the aisle. It takes skill, savvy, and a whole lot of know-how. That's where the Wedding Academy swoops in to save the day. Imagine easy-to-follow certificate courses taught by industry pros covering everything from wedding styling to floral design to even marketing and business for any kind of wedding business. All Wedding Academy courses are 100% online, self-paced, and come with ongoing training and support to keep you up to date. And here's the cherry on top. I've wrangled up an exclusive deal. Just punch in the code PODCAST when you enroll and bam, you'll score a sweet 5% off any course. Ready to take your wedding business to the next level? Then head on over to the Wedding Academy today at weddingacademyglobal.com. Don't forget to plug in that code PODCAST to check out with your special discount.
Okay, I've got a sort of add-on question for that one. So say I'm a wedding planner and it's a new lead. How much follow-up should I do with this new lead before it's sort of dead in the water?
Yeah, so what I would do for anyone new coming onto your email is have a welcome sequence. So this is sort of different to that regular content that you're sending out. Have a welcome sequence set up. So for your example, wedding planner, a new couple joins your email list. You want to be sending them, I'd be sending daily emails for probably 4 or 5 days with value, right? So like the first email is a little bit about you. Maybe it's a resource that you have on like the top 10 tips to plan your wedding and save money or whatever it might be. I just know money's a big pain point. So, you know, that would probably get opened really well. Then maybe email two is a tip about this and a bit of value or a podcast you listened to recently or, and like just think about, I'd say 3 or 4 emails. I'd send them daily with value that's really going to help them on their journey. And then I would go to the weekly content after that. But I think that's really important to have a welcome sequence that really serves them first. They get that really good impression. They're like, yes, I want to like open and read everything she's sending me and then go to the normal content from there.
Great. Have you got any email marketing failures you can share?
Oh, so many. So many. So again, one woman show over here doing everything myself. I make mistakes all the time. I actually I sent an email out last night with the link to an event I'm doing on Sunday and the link didn't work. Like again, you know, they get people then go like, Kylie, it's not working, so I fix it. So I think, you know, mistakes happen all the time. We're all human, right? So it's just being okay with that. I used to be such a people pleaser and such a perfectionist, and it would kill me if I made a mistake. I uploaded a video that I'd edited it out. So when I record a training, it takes me like 20 takes to get one that, you know, I'm happy with. So then you edit it out so it sounds really good. But I uploaded like the unedited version. So my poor students were listening to me like restart and get my water and have a cough and like all the things. I was like, well, you know what? I'm keeping it real over here. I'm keeping it real. It's okay. We all do this. It's fine.
Yeah. Look. I've had my fair share of email fails as well. There is a lot to be said for using that little box where it says "send a test email."
Yes.
You know, absolutely. That one that we quite often just scoot over. It is worth its weight in gold to send that to somebody to have that second set of eyes. Just look at it, look for typos, check the links, and make sure that it's all good to go, because we could have been staring at that thing and working on it and just not even seen the most glaringly obvious mistake. And also a lot of the email providers, if you do that, it'll change, like in our instance, it'll change the smart field to "Hi, Maria." And we're going to see very quickly on that test email that hasn't worked. It's you know, it said "Hi, Jack," and I went, "Oh crap, I didn't change that."
Yes, or just "Hi, name," right? I've seen that.
Oh, "Hi, name."
Yeah, "Hi, first name." I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. So if you've got that feature, definitely send it to hubby or your offsider or your VA and say, can I just have your eyes over this before I send it to my list of 50,000 people. So how does someone like you keep up on all the latest strategies when it comes to email marketing?
I think for me, I'm in that world, right? So I hear about them. I've got friends that are deeper than me that have been doing it for longer. Like I've really only been doing it for a couple of years, whereas I have friends that have been doing it for a decade. So I think it's just keeping your ears and eyes open to that online space, to being in Facebook groups, to having people in your world that are all over it. I don't think we all need to be experts at everything, right? So I think it's just having some connections that will say like, hey, did you know this has happened? Oh, great. Okay, thanks. I'll look into that. That's the main thing. And I mean, look, email, it doesn't change that much. This big change we've had with the authentication stuff has been the biggest change in such a long time. So once you get set up with your email service provider and you get comfy with sending emails, you don't really need to worry about it too much. Just do you, keep sending them, connecting with your audience, and not much changes really in that whole marketing world. It's not like there's an algorithm like the social media or that's changing all the time or anything like that. It's a little bit more, I don't want to say trustworthy, but like safe, right? It doesn't change too often.
Yeah, sure. Just on this authentication thing, for everyone listening, what is it they need to kind of Google or look up in order to get their head across that in time?
Yeah. So the hardest thing with this is that it's different for every email service provider is doing it a little bit differently. So what I'll be Googling is like how to authenticate my email with Flowdesk, with ConvertKit, with whatever that email service provider is. Literally, some of the email service providers have made it really easy. So it'll be in the settings and you like click a button and they do some magic behind the scenes and sort it out for you. I know like Kajabi, there's a few that have done that for their providers, for their members. Others, it's a matter of adding some records to your DNS of your domain. So like, for example, KylieKelly.com is hosted on Squarespace. So for me, I had to get a little bit of code from my ConvertKit and a little bit of code from my Google Workspace because they're the two things that send emails on behalf of KylieKelly.com. And okay. I had to add that little bit of code into my DNS settings as a custom record. If that sounds like another language, it's okay. It did for me as well. And like everybody's had to be learning this, but that is literally what you're doing so that when you send an email from KylieKelly.com, the internet gods like, oh yeah, she's legit. And they let it through.
There you go. You heard it here first. So the words you've got to look up really or look in your settings are for authenticate, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And is there a cutoff date for this?
So April 1. So it was February 1. Yeah, I know. It was
Feb 1. Coming up, April.
It was Feb 1, but they've pushed it out. Now they're saying April 1. Will they push it out again? Like, I don't know. I think just do it as soon as possible. And as you're sending emails, if you notice like your open rate tanks, that's probably the problem in the future, right? So don't freak out. Like if that happens, I've learned that like sending one email like that is not going to be like bad for your reputation, your email future. It won't be bad. Don't freak out. But it's just important to sort it out before you go sending too many more emails.
Okay. All right. So guys, get that done. Make that in your list for this week because we've got how many days left of March? Not many. And if you get stuck, just go to support at your email provider, whether that's ActiveCampaign, MailChimp, whoever it is, get onto support and go, I've heard I need to update this. Can you give me a hand? And they'll give you a hand. So definitely work that into your next week if you can. Kylie, can you tell me a success story where email marketing had a significant impact on a business?
Well, I mean, I think I'm a great example. I think it's honestly, and this sounds so cliche, but it's changed my life. It changed everything for me. So I've went from no email list as a wedding photographer, loved my job, did it for a decade. Pandemic hit, had to do like 40K worth of refunds, lost my business practically. Silver lining. I was like, well, that was done. I'd done it for long enough. I was ready to not work weekends. So I had two little kids. What do I want to do now? Started building my email list, and in 18 months, I went from 0 to 6,000 people on my email list, which has then allowed me to sell to them. So now I can work the flexible life I want, right? Like,
yeah.
So for me, it's changed everything, which sounds so weird because I would have never have thought. Like, I always used to hear people say, like, oh, the money's in the list, or, you know, like they'd always have these little things about how important an email list was. And I was never really into it. Didn't seem as fun as like Instagram or like, I don't know, just didn't seem as fun, not as sexy. And so I never really looked into it. And then when I started changing things and doing this, it's just allowed so much. I can send an email and make money, which I always thought was crap. Like I always thought that was just like marketing baloney, right? But it actually can happen when you have an email list. So who knew?
Marketing baloney. I love it. I think I might need to make a quote out of that today for Instagram.
I'm just trying not to swear. So I'm trying.
You're not getting any marketing baloney on this podcast, all right? I love it. So what would be your favorite marketing tool? I want to hear what you're using.
For my email, I use ConvertKit. I love it. It works really well with my brain. They all do the same thing. So don't feel like ConvertKit's the only answer because I use it. It's They all did the same thing. But I started using it because you can get really detailed in like what you do with like funnels and segmenting. And when you get into like more advanced email stuff, which I'm not even there yet, PS, like I've only really, I keep a pretty simple, basic system, but it has the capabilities to do that. So I was like, oh, it's going to grow with me as I grow. So I love it. I use ConvertKit. I also use ThriveCart, which is more of a checkout software. I got ThriveCart when I was hosting summits in 2022 because I needed some affiliate software, but I really love that I can host all my checkouts, my membership and everything on ThriveCart, and it integrates with ConvertKit. So then people get tagged automatically and sent emails automatically. So for a one-woman show, it makes it a whole lot easier because it just happens behind the scenes, which is really good.
Yeah, great. Look, we're with ActiveCampaign, although we are dabbling with a custom system at the moment that we're quite possibly moving to. But I think another thing worth adding is lead scoring, right? People forget about this, and most of you have this capability in your email software. If you go looking for that in your settings, likely it's there. And what it is you can sort of set these actions and give them a value. So if someone opens your email, it might be 5 points. If they forward, it might be 10 points or, you know, you can make the numbers whatever you want, but obviously, the more that people engage and take actions, the more points that they're earning. So it can be this other advanced tool to when you're looking at your list, like, great, you might have segmented them into, you know, different lists, but to have this other ability to filter or sort in order of lead scoring as well, I think is something that a lot of people don't know about. And don't you want to know about who's taking the most action and the hottest person who's in and out of your email and clicking the most? I want to be on the phone to them.
Yes, Jack, I didn't know about that. ConvertKit does not have that, I'm certain.
Oh my God.
So I just learned something.
Oh my God. It probably is in ConvertKit, to be honest. It's definitely an ActiveCampaign. It's definitely in, I'm trying to think of the other one that I used to use. Oh, most of them will have it.
I'll have to have a look.
Most of them will have it. It's usually hidden away in settings, but you go in there and you set what those scores are, what those actions are worth. And then yes, in most cases you can put your list in order of people with the high scores.
So, I love that. You know, for us
in the wedding industry, when you've got, you know, signs that people are taking a lot of actions, they are the hottest leads, and you want to take action and phone those people immediately. Get them into a consultation. They're probably going to say yes to at least a consultation because they're, you know, taking enough actions that they're clearly interested. Cool. Well, I taught you something.
There we go. Yeah, thanks for that.
Great. Because email marketing is not my specialty, so that's great. All right, so if you had one piece of advice to someone who was starting out with email marketing, what would it be?
I would say, well, I'm going to give you two. I would say that just start, of course. It always feels weird when you're not used to sending emails. It can be hard not to get wrapped up in like the imposter syndrome thoughts of, well, I'm not a writer, I don't want to annoy people, I don't, you know, all of those, that junk that comes up when we're trying something new and our brain wants to keep us safe. So just start. Yeah. Know that it's something you need to do. Like, we all have to do hard things as a business owner. It's always like a choose your hard, I think. So like, email works, so choose it. Give it a go and start. You can't do it wrong. You can't stuff it up. Listen to the mistakes that I've shared. Like, well, no, you can't, because you can always come back. You can be like, oh, that was a mistake, and people will love you for it. So no, you can't make any mistakes. So definitely to start. And then number two is don't take unsubscribes personally, especially in the wedding industry when there is a life cycle of a client. People are going to leave, come and go. Don't take it personally. Even outside of that industry, a normal unsubscribe rate is 1%. So regardless of whether you are sending the best email in the world, you're giving them something, 1% will still unsubscribe, which is just a bit wild. So knowing that helps you when you see those numbers come through, you're kind of expecting it. So try to like let go of any emotion around that unsubscribe number as you get started.
Unless you know that name and it's a friend, then you can be really pissed off.
Yeah, maybe call them out on that if that's the case. But I'll also add, like, as your list grows, you're paying for those people. So that friend, you don't want her on there if she's not interested in not getting married. So like, let's just get rid of her so you're not paying for her.
True. Okay. All right. And of course, we need to know how to measure the success, right? We've sent an email campaign. How do we then kind of track the success of this campaign?
I think it depends on the intention, right? So if you're sending a specials email and you've got, I don't know, $100 off your planning package or whatever, you can pretty much track that really easily with how many bookings you get or how many people click and convert. Like, that's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. I also think, though, it's worth mentioning if your intention is to nurture and build relationships, try seeing how many replies you can get. How many conversations can you start? How many people can you take to that next, you know, warm them up a little bit more so they're ready to do that next thing? So I think while it always, whenever we're thinking about results, we're always thinking, well, I'm always thinking about the dollar figure, right? Like conversions, but actually there's other intentions too. So like, let's start some conversations so that they get to know you better, so that then they're one step closer to booking you for their wedding as well.
Love it. Now I've got a fun question for you. Mm-hmm. If you could only send one last marketing email, what would it say?
I saw this in your list. I was like, oh my goodness, one email?
Yeah.
Probably like, love you, bye. Like, what would I say? That was the first thing I thought of. I would probably just direct them to my podcast. Like, if I was still doing something, I would want them to go there. If it was one, and wish them luck. And peace out and love you, bye.
Peace out with a gift.
Absolutely, yeah. But yeah, and please still listen to my podcast. I'll probably beg them in the body of the email, begging them to do something else with me.
Thank you, Kylie. All right, so where is the podcast? What's the podcast called? Let's start there.
Yeah, so I have a podcast called This Mama Means Business. So I started that in 2020 when I was lonely, just so I could talk to women that had kids and were doing what I was trying to do. So, now we talk a lot about email marketing and online business. Short episodes once a week over on Apple or wherever you listen to podcasts. And then I also have the link to the podcast and everything else on my website, which is just kyliekelly.com.
Great. All right. And you can also find Kylie on LinkedIn. Her username is Kylie Marie. And on Instagram, best to search it because there's a few underscores in that username, _Kelly_. I'm not even going to say it. So look for Kylie Kelly.
Yes, Kylie Kelly was taken. I had to use the underscores. So you'll see
my
face.
That's a good name. I'm not surprised. And for everyone listening or watching, if you wanted to see this episode live and to contribute your questions, there's only one way to do that. That's to become a Wedding Empires Pro member. Sign up for your free trial at pro.weddingempires.com. Thank you, Kylie. It has been an absolute joy getting to know you. I might call in for a cup of tea when I'm next in Newcastle and we can have a chat and see if you've implemented your lead scoring, for one.
I'm Googling that straight when we get off. You know I am.
I'm Googling authentication because I'm thinking, holy crap, that's what we need to do this week. So look, that's great. We've both got something out of it today, which is awesome, and I'm sure all of our audience is going to get heaps out of your tips. So thank you. We will catch up again.
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
No worries. Talk to you soon.
This episode of Wedding Empires is brought to you by The Wedding Academy, where you can start and grow your wedding business. We offer certificate courses, group coaching programs, and a whole heap of templates and worksheets and things to help you get started and grow your wedding business. For more information, visit weddingacademyglobal.com. And don't forget to use your 5% discount code PODCAST when checking out.